Let's pray before we begin our study. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. You know that there are times of testing when we are tempted to give up or to give in. And even Yeshua had to walk through such a time. When he was in that garden with his disciples after the last Passover that he celebrated with them, he prayed, "Father, take this cup from me." And you may be in a circumstance or in a situation where you prayed something like that, "Get me out of this." But I want you to pay attention to the full way that Yeshua prayed on that night before he was arrested and tried and then crucified as an atoning sacrifice for you and me. He said, "Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me." That's Luke 22, verse 42. And then he said something that is so significant. He said, "Yet I want your will to be done and not mine." The temptation that we can fall into in times of challenge or difficulty is we start asserting our will, we want our will. And Yeshua modeled for us how to stay close with the Father, how to draw strength, how to go through a challenging situation, even one for him that included not just normal suffering, but the agony of crucifixion, death. Persecution, humiliation. Before he prayed, Yeshua told his disciples to be careful not to fall into temptation. And it makes me think about what kind of temptation could they fall into? What kind of temptation did they face? I mean, he wasn't talking about the temptations of lust and the temptations of the normal things of the flesh or appetites. I think he was talking about something else. And that is very similar to the temptation that Moses and Israel had to walk through when they were in the desert, which we read about in this week's Torah portion. So if you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 9, Moses is recounting some things that have happened, and he tells Israel, "I spoke to you at that time, and I said, I alone am not able to bear you." Moses is just admitting to all of Israel, "I can't handle you. I can't handle this. I'm in over my head." Have you ever felt like that? Maybe you haven't had a few million Jewish people to lead at one time, and you still felt that way. Moses felt this, and each one of us, I think, will feel something like this sometime in our lives. And so Moses recounts that he spread out the workload. In other words, it seemed like it was just too much work, so he spread it out and included others. And, you know, that helped for a while. But then another challenge came up, and he describes that. And in verse 19, he says that there was that challenge of moving forward and taking possession of the land. He says, "We came to Kadesh Barnea, and I said to you, you've come to the mountains of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. Look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it. As the Lord God of our fathers has spoken to you, do not be afraid and don't be discouraged." See, those are the two big temptations, aren't they? The temptations also that the disciples felt, to be afraid and to be discouraged because things did not seem to be working out. Moses recounts, verse 22, "Every one of you came near to me and said, 'Let us send men before us and let them search out the land for us and bring back word to us of the way by which we should go up and of the cities into which we shall come.'" In other words, let them go before us and tell us the best way to do this. Verse 23, "The plan pleased me well," said Moses. "So I took 12 of your men, one man from each tribe, and they departed and went up into the mountains and came to the valley of Eshcol, and they spied it out. And they took some of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us. And they brought word back to us saying, it is a good land which the Lord our God is giving us. Nevertheless, verse 26, you would not go up. But you rebelled against the command of the Lord, and you complained in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, he's brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified all the way to heaven. And moreover, we've seen the sons of the Anakim there. They rebelled and they complained and they were discouraged. And even though their original plan was to find the best way to go up, at that point, they didn't even want to go up. They wanted to go back. They faced the challenge, and they did not see that God had promised them victory in that challenge. Instead, they were certain they would be defeated, and they were certain they would lose and have failure. And Moses said, don't be terrified or afraid of them. Here you go again. What presents itself to go away from the plan of God? Fear. Terror, discouragement, not based just on psychological fear, but based on the real circumstances that are in front of us. And then Moses gave the answer. What's the cure for this fear? Verse 30, the Lord your God goes before you. He will fight for you according to all he did for you in Egypt that you saw with your own eyes. And in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his own son and all the way that you went until you came to this place. And so he's saying, if you want to make it into the next place that God is wanting to bring you, remember what he brought you out of. Remember how he worked on your behalf. Don't get stuck in the wilderness thinking about the wilderness. The wilderness is that distance between where you're coming out of and what you're coming into. And he said, verse 32, for all that you didn't believe the Lord your God. You see, the battle is a battle of faith. It's not just a battle over circumstances. Verse 33, he went in the way before you to search out a place for you to pitch your tents, to show you the way you should go in the fire by night and in the cloud by day. Moses starts his whole discourse by saying, I was ready to give up. It was too much for me. But I didn't, because God is faithful. You were ready to go in, but instead you wanted to give up because it seemed impossible. But I tell you what, Moses is saying, it's time to go in, to move forward. And this brings us to chapter 2, verse 31, which I want to really make the point of emphasis for you tonight. The Lord said to me, Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 31, see, I have begun to give Sihon and his land over to you. See, I have begun. Say that with me. See, I have begun. You see, the Lord says, I've begun to give it to you. And then look at what he calls Israel to do. Begin to possess it, that you may inherit this land. One of the reasons we're having picnics is we want to possess all the land the Lord's given us. This step is really critical because it's based on a pattern that's going to be repeated over and over again in life and in your life. Possession of the blessings of God is progressive. The promise may be absolute, but the experience of receiving the promise may take time and steps. God may say, you are going to get the land. It's only going to take you 40 years. Or he might say, I'm going to bring you into the land of milk and honey. Well, not you, your kids. If that's good enough for you, then you can go. You can go into the land, not yourself, but through them. I have begun. That's what the Lord said. Now you begin. You begin so that you may inherit this land. How did Israel actually begin to inherit the land? By beginning to possess it. You have to get all the way through the journey to get into the next phase. You have to go through the wilderness. Anybody here gone through the wilderness? Anybody know what wilderness looks like? We have to keep steady in the face of obstacle, challenge, too much time. Have you thought about what causes people to give up? Have you noticed that many people want to give up instead of going forward, and that the worst time for people, believe it or not, is right before the breakthrough? It's the worst time. It's when people feel they have nothing left, and that's when they need God the most. Sometimes, if we had a victory earlier, you know what we would do? We'd stop going forward. We'd camp. We'd stay put. We'd say, this is a great place. God has been with us. We shouldn't leave where God has blessed us. Right? It's been blessed. It's been anointed. It's been good. I don't want to go. That's the way we act. I remember when the Lord was calling Sandy and me to move at one point in our lives to serve him in a different way. And we had to leave a place that was totally familiar to us. You know, we knew all the streets and all the people, and we were going to unknown places. And we had to walk around our neighborhood and just lay down all that familiarity to the Lord and just say, Lord, we give it up. We lay it down for you. We sacrifice it. We don't want to hold on to the familiarity. We want to go forward in you. And there are times when you just have to say, it's been great, let's move forward. And that's why Israel was taught, the way you know when to move is when you see God leading you forward, right? It's not based on the circumstance of good. And it's not based on the circumstance of difficulty. Because sometimes when you want to get into the blessing, you have to go through a difficult season and place. Isn't that true? And it's only people who are fantasizing who think it's not true. You know, you think, oh, God's going to bless me. It must be easy street from here. Well, you know what? I'll tell you what the blessing of God can be like. It can be like being at an amusement park, and you feel so excited you're just going with the kids on whatever rides they want to. And you find yourself on the roller coaster. And it seems good until you realize how high up and that this is not a normal roller coaster. This one goes around and around and does loop-de-loops. And grown men come off it crying. And teenagers come off, happy for themselves. I tell you, life can be like that with God. He puts you in a pleasant place in some way, and then he puts you on a ride of terror sometimes. The only reason God says don't be afraid is because circumstances are fearful. That's it. When was the last time you were afraid of chocolate pudding? Never. Right? But what if you got to catch your own alligator and eat it? That's fearful. Not that we're eating alligators in the synagogue, but you get the idea. Yeah, you can say to the person proposing that, well, I can't eat alligators, it's not kosher. Of course I'd catch it if it were kosher and eat it myself. You see, the wilderness is part of the journey for us. So that means there will be times of adversity and times of waiting and times of testing. And times where we see God provide when we cannot provide for ourselves. And during those times, we will discover and experience closeness and intimacy with God, even when times are tough, and we will find God really loves us, and he takes care of us. I believe that God is wanting to break through for many of us here. And that what looks like darkness for some is just the edge of night. It's just the ending of a dark period. Because God has a plan for you. Now, you have to know whether God has a plan for you. If God said to you, I'm going to give you 7 years of trouble and this is year one, hunker down. But if God said, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to bless your family and I'm going to bring you into something, then hunker down in a very different way. Hold on to the promise and understand you're going to have to keep going in order to get it. Don't turn back. You can ask my wife about three words the Lord spoke to us. Don't go back the way you came. Don't go the way everybody else is going and do the unthinkable. There are times when what's in front of you requires unthinkable courage and boldness and requires that you go forward because God's leading you forward even if everybody else wants to go back to Egypt. And even if some part of you just wants to give up, don't give up. You're made of more than that. And why are you made of more than that? Because you've been born again in Yeshua. And the one who would give up, that one should be dead. And when that one wants to assert ownership of you, you've got to declare who you belong to. Who do you belong to? And you can say, I'm weak, but he's strong. I don't have enough, but he has everything. I cannot, but he can. What is impossible for man is possible for God. And we're reminded of these things through the life of Yeshua, through the life of Moses and Israel, so that you and I can make sense of our lives and understand how to live. Otherwise, we will be lost in the wilderness. And there's no reason to be lost in the wilderness because you were not meant to die in the wilderness. You were meant to pass through. I want to pray for everyone who just wants to finish this wilderness part of the journey. Anybody like, I'm ready to move into the land of promise? Okay. You might not think it's significant. I do. Come to the picnics in August. You might say, well, what's that got to do with anything? You'll find out. You might say, I don't like chicken salad. Well, then order roast beef. Some of you say, well, I don't handle money on Shabbat. It's okay. You handle it before. Order online your sandwiches or bring your own. And I tell you, as we gather together in the beautiful weather of Jacksonville in the middle of August, we will find shade somewhere. And we'll find refreshment together. And it's a special kind of refreshment that God wants to give us in the month of August to prepare us for the breakthrough that's ahead. Know this and be certain of it and be confident of it. Well, it's too late. It's time to go. okay, I've got enough notes for another hour. And if I didn't use my notes, I could go for 2 hours. But...
use the notes.
Use the notes, get us out of here. It's Friday night. That's right. I'm finished with the notes. You should thank me.
Amen.
Okay, thank you very much. That's what I was looking for. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you give us strength, you give us joy, you give us a sense of humor to get through every difficult challenge. You give us hope. You refresh us and renew us, and you know the destination is outside of the wilderness. Bring us out, Lord. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. So let's close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please stand? Don't feel like you have to stand alone. Stand together with someone. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai p'nav elecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'nav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom, everyone.